When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit SmileGeneration.com/confidence today.
Welcome to The Compound, hosted by Ian Happ.
It's a grand slam for Ian Happ. What a play, Ian Happ, into the ivy.
And Dakota Meckes.
6'7", 250-pound Meckes. Swing and a miss, struck him out.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast. This is episode 267. 267 of the Compound Podcast, presented by Parse Rum. When I say Parse, you say Rum Parse.
Rum. Rum.
Nice job, Dakota. Go to Benny's. Get your Parse. Go to your local Benny's. Check it out. Send us a photo. We got those Parse jerseys headed out to the people that have sent photos in. It's a great time of year to grab the three-year. Make yourself a little pina colada by the beach, Lake Michigan. Got a lot to talk about. Got the All-Star Game, got the Derby, got the break. Where you guys want to start?
Listen, it's just nice of you to show up this week, you know?
What?
Wow.
What?
What a way to start the pod.
Last week was, there was just no world. We were messaging and we were going to try to figure it out Sunday night to record. There was no way. With the flight delays that you had, Ian, where you got home at midnight, you said?
Yeah, it was like 11 Eastern. It was 11 Central, so it was midnight for you.
So we would have started like a little after midnight Eastern. As that was going on, I'm like, I try to be as amenable as possible, but I was like, guys, I don't know if I could start that late. Like, and yeah, there was no end in sight for when you would be home. Like, we didn't know how late it could go.
The Cubs got very much delayed coming back from New York at the end of the last game of the first half. And then I was taking my All-Star break. I was headed to Lake Geneva for Monday and Tuesday, which was absolutely wonderful time. So that was where I wasn't going to say, hey, yeah, on my wonderful vacation to Lake Geneva, of which the only time that I get 4 days off consecutively for 8 months, I would like to record this podcast and tell my wife, hey, I'm going to jump on the pod for an hour here from beautiful Lake Geneva.
Hey, we weren't throwing shade at you. It was out of your control.
Tom is.
He was.
He started the pod with shade.
I understood because, like you said, it's a long year. So if you get those 4 days, it's nice to have. Also, my buddy, like his boss at work, was at Lake Geneva the same time as you. And he said he saw you at dinner and he's a big Cubs fan. He's like, I wanted to go up and say hi, but he was with his wife and I didn't want to interrupt him. I was like, honestly, very respectable. But if you just went up and said like, hey, big fan, like that's totally fine. You know what I mean? Like it was nice of him not to interrupt you, but also I was like, you could have been like, hey, like huge fan, like keep it going.
Yeah. Yeah. Those ones are nice. Hey.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Will you sign this? Can you take a picture? Like, hey, Mrs. Yeah. Happ, do you mind taking a picture of me and your husband? You're just like, I'm trying to relax right now, man.
Yeah, it was a great break though, and I haven't told you guys this, but I did. I played some golf, and I played some good golf out there. Well, I got to play.
Shocking.
I got I got rained out on Wednesday. I got six holes Wednesday, and then Thursday I got to play a nice full round and golf my ball.
Does Julie go with you?
No.
I was gonna say she cannot enjoy, like she's not a cart wife. Like she wouldn't enjoy being in the cart while you play golf.
No, absolutely not.
I could see her being so mad at that. Like if you tried to get her to, she'd be like, no.
Yeah, a couple times in off season, but not. It's no.
How was playing the six holes? Was that just like frustrating? Because you got to warm up. You know, that's like a lot of effort to not for not a lot of payoff in the end.
You know, I was playing really good through six, and then the rain came, and it was sad.
Who'd you play with? Just solo?
No, I buddy Stu Lansing.
This guy? Come on!
Shout out to Stu for hosting at Shore Acres. And the rain came out of nowhere. I thought the golf gods were blessing my All-Star break because it was supposed to rain Wednesday and Thursday, but then it looked like it was going to be Wednesday night into like Thursday at 1 a.m. and then it was going to leave. So I was like, oh, this is perfect. So I was playing afternoon on Wednesday, morning on Thursday. And I was like, it's going to be, the rain's going to miss us. And we got to the sixth hole, which is beautiful par three, and kind of going towards the lake. And so I hit my shot on the par three, got to the green, looked back and was like, oh no, there's big rain coming. And so, yeah, it shut us down for, I don't know, like an hour and a half. Tried to wait it out, but it was like.
My quick hot take. I always felt like 13 holes is the – I played Tuesday, and I was like, you know what amount of holes I'd love to play? 13. Because 9 never feels like enough, but 18 is too much. I'd love a 13-hole golf course. Somebody out there make a 13-hole golf course, and that's the exact amount of holes I always want to play.
Ian, I've had other – I've and this is no offense to you. I've had multiple people tell me that, and I'm like – maybe golf's just not for you then. Maybe it's just not your sport.
Okay. Because
I will say, I know Ian's played 36 in a day before. I've played 36 only a handful of times. And that to me, I'm like, I'm just not good enough to play that many holes. Like I get too frustrated playing 36. But 18, that gives me like, usually the back nine is my better nine. So maybe that helps. I get loosened up a little more. I get the feel for things, but I feel like I
need a couple holes to warm up, and it's like 3 or 4, I start to turn it on. And then like right around like 11, 12, like it was, I played Tuesday and it was like 90, 95 here in Chicago. And yeah. You know, the heat was starting, you know, right around like 8 or 9, I was like, we're melting down a little bit. I hit a couple bad shots and I was like, I'm glad this is over. I need this to be over now.
I see your point in the heat, but like fall golf, I might be able to play 72 in a day.
That's different. I agree with you. Fall golf is different.
I do love a par three course, and I do think there should be more 9-hole and 13-hole par three courses.
You're also just really good, Ian, so you have fun golfing no matter what. Like, you don't really get that mad because it's like, oh, man, terrible day. I shot a 76. Ugh, gross. Like, I parred every hole.
I just love golf, man.
You're good at it.
All right, let's get us back to baseball.
Okay. You want to talk about the All-Star game?
Let's talk about it.
What do you want to start
with? Let's start with the Derby, because the Derby came first.
Go ahead.
Thoughts? Cal Raleigh won the Derby.
Yeah, he did.
There's no way the technology is perfect enough to determine that he beat Brent Rooker by, what, 1 inch? Like, there's no way. There's no way the technology is that precise.
You're telling me MLB wanted the guy with the cool nickname in over the guy with the, from the team that plays at a minor league stadium in West Sacramento? That's crazy.
But I will say, though, I think Rooker's a pretty big fan favorite, too, just from like his Twitter presence and social media stuff. So I do think those are two of the more likable guys that were in it. But I think like they weren't upset about Caminario, a 22-year-old, and then Big Dumper, who's having an MVP season, being in the finals.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job. I didn't get to watch much of the Derby, but I thought they did a good job just with selecting. I thought O'Neill Cruz being in there hitting balls 150 miles an hour, 500 feet was good for baseball. And obviously, Cal Raleigh having the season he's having, doing it from both sides of the plate, hitting homers, good for the game and really cool.
I do have one gripe. I want them to go back to just the 10 outs, because with this format, it's just too fast. Like a camera's quickly panning to a home run, and then you're trying to rush back to get the next swing, and then you're panning to the ball, and then you're going back to the. It's just too fast for me, where I'm like, I think there needs to be a limit if you do the 10 outs. Like, you can't have a guy standing up there take 6 straight pitches, because that's not fun either. But there needs to be a happy medium of too fast to I can't even follow what's happening to too slow.
I did hear the chatter that the broadcast was not great.
It was not a great viewing experience. Yeah, it was like a whirlwind.
Well, you've been there for it, Ian, right? In 22. What is it? I think the thing that is favorable about this format is that it's very good in person. I've heard that, like, from people who have gone, that like the energy is there because it's constantly going in the stadium. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, in person, it's just constant action. So it is really cool in person. But I think that you're talking about, like, you're going to sell the tickets no matter what. It's going to be sold out. It's not like people aren't going to come to the Derby. And you're really putting this on for the TV audience. And there's,
you know, it's a bad television product right now, which is the issue. Because it's just, as Dakota's saying, as one pitch is coming in, another ball's like still traveling in the air, and there's not really a way to film both of those things. I agree with you also, Dakota. Like, I mean, I'm biased, but like, I think about like the Josh Hamilton. We've talked about this, but I think about the Josh Hamilton one and like the drama that builds as he got later and later into that round. You're like, he still only has two outs and he's at like 22 homers. And I agree. I think that made for better television, but I do think we're forgetting about how boring that can be to watch as well. And it's one of those things where I feel like every 5 years we go back and forth where it's like, I don't like this format. We need to go back to the other one, you know? But I do agree. I think this one right now for television is very hard to do. I think they like it because it's good in person and they feel like that energy maybe carries the day over the lack of energy you get out of the other one.
The problem with the other derby, with the 10-out derby, is you don't know how long it's going to take. And so for the TV window, this is perfectly timed out. So they know when their breaks are going to be. They know how long the TV window will be for this event. So it's a lot easier to sell it. I think the other hard part is you can't experiment with formats, right? It's not like you just come up with an idea and then it happens once a year and then you decide. So like, could they do a 10 out format where you can't take two pitches back to back? Like maybe like that might be a good format. I do think like when we were growing up, like what Miguel Tejada had a unbelievable derby the one time, and then the Hamilton Derby, and then you get the highlights of the one at Miller Park with Sosa and hitting balls off the slide up there. Like, I do think it was a much better TV product. It's just like, how can you package it in that 3-hour window and still make it like compelling?
Yeah, there really is no perfect way to do it. I just think, Ian, like you said, you didn't watch it a ton, and me and Tom, like, you can't even follow on TV what's happening. Like, they flash back and the guy's already swung and like, it's like, oh, where did that ball go? And then you don't know if it got out or not. And it's gotta be a heck of a job for the production team to try to get all those cameras right. Cause it's mayhem going on.
And then in the swing-off format, it was at the All-Star game. The swing-off format was you get three swings, but they could take as many pitches as they wanted, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
And that was electric. And that is more of the old derby where you get, here's three swings, you could take the pitch, and we're going to watch where this one ends.
It was also just electric, I think, because Schwarber hit three in a row. Yeah. I didn't even see it live. I just saw that clip. There was also a funny tweet that was like, that, no offense to the guys that actually competed, it's like, man, we really got screwed here. Like, we could have had Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani, like all these guys in a home run derby. Nope.
I realized that a lot of the guys, they said leave. Like, after they play, they immediately get on a plane and get out of there, which, like, I understand, I guess, from like a set, like a setting of like you want to get enjoy as much of your All-Star break as you can. But it is like, it's 90 minutes. Like, we can't ask Aaron Judge to hang out for 90 more minutes. Like, I get it. It's the All-Star break. He wants to enjoy it. But like, it would have been way better for the sport if it was Ohtani versus Judge in that situation. And instead, it's like, I'm number one Kyle Stowers fan of the world, 2016, 2017 Bellingham Bells, you know, that's my guy. But like, I don't know who other than me is really fired up about that. You know, like I think most fans would have rather seen Ohtani.
I was going to ask you about that, Ian. Is that true? Do guys just like, they get taken out and they're like, all right, see you guys.
Yeah. I was shocked also. Like in 22, I like, I was like, wait, guys are gone. Like, guys, just left. Like,
but I'm gonna go play now. You guys don't want to watch me?
I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. But I mean, I totally get it. Obviously, if you're not a starter, you're there for the whole time and you're playing toward till the end of the game. But the starters, a lot of guys, yeah, they're out and they're
gone. I'd imagine if it's like your first one, even if you're a starter, like I'd imagine, like Ian, you'd tell us, like if you were starting, you probably would have stayed the whole game anyway. I mean, like, this is sick. Like, this is my first time ever here. Like, I get it if you're Aaron Judge and you're on number 10 and you probably got five more coming. He's like, I'll see you guys again next year. Like, it's all good. I understand that. But like, if it's your first time, it's like, this is sick. I want to experience this.
And sometimes the teams coordinate travel for guys. So like, if the team has, let's say the team has three all-stars or five all-stars and they're all flying together both ways, like sometimes the team has that coordinated. So it's like, hey, we're going to, you know, we're going to jump right when the game, or right when you guys come out of the game. So go shower and we'll get out of here. And like, I think that that's, you know, sometimes it's out of guys' control. But yeah, it is interesting, but it gets guys home Tuesday night, which is really nice. So then they get two full days where when I went, it was in LA, and Julie and I ended up staying, and we went to like Santa Monica on Wednesday and stayed there and did like a 1 day vacation as like part of our break, and then flew back to, we had to fly to New York, I think. So we flew on, or yeah, we had to fly to Philly or New York or something. So we ended up doing like a cross country flight on Thursday. So it was like the break gets really short, and for those guys to get out of there, it is like a nice thing.
Yeah. I could see it, but it is interesting. I think, like I think Tom said, the biggest thing we missed. Honest,
I think they should stay. I think it's like, it's, I get it, but like, we got enough technology. We got enough PJs now. Can we organize all those flights so the second the game's over, guys can get out of there?
Would you rather have the guys actually show up to play in the game and get two more days of their break, or guys that are going, I'm not going? Because we, like, this year there was a lot of like,
which,
hey,
yeah,
I'm not going to go.
And I have more of a problem with that.
I agree.
That, I saw that, and we haven't recorded in 2 weeks, but I wanted to talk to you about that. Like, that blew my mind. Like, I don't think, I'll be honest, I don't think they should count as all-stars then. What do you mean? Like, if you get voted an all-star, you, like, that's a huge honor. Like, you go to the game. You don't have to throw. I get it from the pitching side of, like, starting pitchers, like sometimes the schedule just plays out where it's like, I can't, like, I'm not going to go throw one inning as a starting pitcher and then screw up my whole routine. I understand that part, but like other guys that just are like, nah, like I'm just going to get ready for the second half. I'm like, all right, unless there's like a nagging injury, which I mean, realistically, everyone probably has those at this point in the year. I didn't like that. I didn't like guys like turning it down.
Yeah, I think like the one that I understood was Jose Ramirez had like three or four different things
for sure
throughout the year, and he was like, I'm just going to take these 4 days and like get my body right. And like, I totally get that. But I think in general, like the more stars that we can have in that game, the better. And yeah, if getting the guys out of there on Tuesday night helps guys, our superstars, come to the game, like.
But, yep. Like, for example, even, like, Boyd, was the schedule that he couldn't throw? I think he didn't plan to throw anyway, right?
No,
he still went.
A couple things about Boyd. Like, one, he's coming off only throwing limited innings last year because he came back in the second half and his workload's high. But he threw on Saturday, which would have made Tuesday tough.
It would have been like a bullpen day, and you don't want to do that in the big leagues. Make your bullpen day in a game against the best hitters in the world
with adrenaline.
Yeah. I thought he spoke really well about it when they announced that he wasn't going to pitch. That basically, as Ian said, like his workload this year, he's already over 100 innings. He's going to be a really key contributor for you guys down. I mean, I don't think anyone could have foreseen at the beginning of the year how valuable he was going to be for you guys. Right now, he's one of your top end guys. And if you could get him, he's not pitching again till now Tuesday. That's like, whatever, almost 10 days off between starts. Like, if you can get him that break in the middle of the season, as much as I'm sure he wanted to pitch, I actually thought it was like pretty selfless of him to give up the opportunity to perhaps pitch in the All-Star game, knowing that, you know, he's a one-time All-Star. This may be the only opportunity he ever gets in his life. He's in his, you know, mid-30s. There's a good chance that he's never getting this opportunity again. So I actually was like, I give him a lot of credit, I think, for actually making that choice, because I do think it's like the thing that helps the team, even if it is like sacrificing a little bit of what maybe he would have wanted to do.
But I do like that he went to the game still. You know what I mean?
For
like,
sure.
It's still like he's probably like, hey, I still want to experience this. Like, I earned this. I've never been here.
Let's he's got young kids about. Too who love PCA, so that was cool to like see all the videos of stuff with them hanging out.
Yeah, and he really enjoyed it and being there with his family and like doing the derby with the kids on the field and stuff. Like he had a blast, that's what it's all about.
I'll say it. I know Ian probably won't say too much. And there was people that declined the opportunity, but there has to be a minimum innings pitched or games played to be like the Mizorowski. He's been phenomenal. He's been great. That guy had like 4 outings. Like you can't. That's a PR grab. There's no way he earned it. There's no way he earned it. Why don't we let's just bring the top prospect from AAA. Let's bring what's his name, Spencer Jones from the Yankees. He's got a lot of home runs. Let's have him play in the MLB All Star game because he has a lot of home runs. Like that was absurd to me.
I mean, what happened right last year was Paul Skenes got in, and we talked about that at that time was a little bit of a slippery slope. He had only made a couple of appearances. He made more than Mizorowski. I think it was like 8 or 9.
I think it was 11.
He was right on the edge of being like, is he an all-star? Is he not an all-star? But we were like, people want to see Skenes. It makes sense. He's a draw, whatever. But this is kind of the idea of the slippery slope, where now it's like, okay, we let Skenes in, so let's let this guy in who people want to see with 5 appearances. And it's like, No. Now we found the line. We've crossed it. And we've gone too far. This is insanity. This guy can't be in the All-Star game. I will say there was a couple guys in the Phillies who people wanted to get in, both of whom were not going to be able to throw in the game, which I do think unfortunately affected MLB's decision that Mizorowski was going to be available to throw and those guys wouldn't. That kind of sucks. That's ultimately some of the determining factor of who makes the All-Star game. But, I mean, you guys know anytime you're trying to get a game together, finding arms to throw innings is the most important thing. So I get it from that perspective. But there had to be somebody else. Also, Seiya Suzuki not in the All-Star game, insane. Like, I just kept waiting for someone to drop out and Seiya Suzuki to get in. And then I was like, on like Saturday, I was like, I guess Seiya Suzuki's just not going to the All-Star game? The guy's like one of the best hitters in Major League Baseball and he just doesn't get to go?
Real quick to finish the Mizorowski. No knock on him either. He's very good, very talented. Like, he's a stud. Don't get me wrong. That's not his fault that, like, he got voted in.
Yeah, not so his
I don't fault. Want him. I don't want him to hear this and get angry and take it out on the Cubs, okay? Let the Cubs still hit against you. You're a great guy, you know? But, yes, the Seiya one, illegal. Like, there should be, like, a suit filed. I don't know. Someone should take him to court. It's the craziest.
Not the game.
I didn't realize it until I, like, saw his stats again. I go, there's no way. Like, there has to be a way this guy get, like, it's not possible. And that's his numbers, strictly numbers, I think are better than PCA's. And again, obviously PCA deserved to be there too. But I'm just saying, like, his numbers were better than like starters in the All-Star game.
Yeah. I mean, his PCA's defense is obviously also his call.
For sure. No, and PCA was a poor example. I'm just saying, like, PCA was obviously 100% guarantee going to start in center field, but I'm like, if you compared the numbers to Seiya, like, I think Seiya had better numbers even. I'm like, wait a second.
How? I just assumed all the dropouts and stuff that he was going to get in at some point, and then it was just like, I can't believe this isn't happening. And, like, obviously, Bush as well, he had the late push. And we talked about how first base complicated. I could understand that one more, but Seiya, I was like, Seiya has to get in. Like, this is primitive.
It's like you said, the timing of Bush getting hot made it look bad, and Bush has unreal numbers too, but I think it was more the timing of him getting hot that was like, this guy's really not in. And I'm like, well, first base is a tough position, like that, like you said, Tom. That's more understandable to me. Ian, would you care to fight for your teammates?
The Bush one, I agree. First base, really hard. Seiya, especially when the voting was going on and like where he was in the RBI race and everything, like, Just crazy. But I think those guys, they all handled it very, very well. And that was like one of the most impressive things. I mean, also Carson Kelly. We had this talk a week before the game about like what Carson Kelly's done and where he ranks amongst NL catchers. It's like, and for a guy that has had a career where he's bounced around a little bit, been in a couple of different places, and like to be playing as well as he is, and with Miggy going down, Amaya going down, and him stepping in and like having that year, I thought it would have been a really, really cool thing for him to be an all-star.
It's tough. You have to go like position-based for these things, but it makes it tough of like, are you really going to have like three first basemen? Are you going to have three like outfield? You can have five outfielders. And then like, if you're a DH, we can count you. Like we could throw you in the out. You know what I mean? Like certain positions, especially first and catcher, like you just kind of get screwed over of like, they're probably going to have two of each and that's all it's going to be.
Catching, you could do 3-3-3, like three innings, three innings, sure. Three innings. Like catching two halves of a game is actually kind of a lot of work. And then the other thing about Seiya is Seiya has played outfield. It's not like he hasn't played any outfield. He's played outfield. And so he easily could have gotten the game and that, done the outfield thing.
That was my point. It's like for Seiya, it's like, okay, like you have Shohei as a DH. Great. No problem. There's five, six. You're probably going to have six outfielders at least, three and three, like three to back him up. So you're telling me he's not in the top six outfielders on the first half? That's wrong. That's incorrect. And I plan to go for legal action. I can't think of the word.
You're going to sue. I don't know.
I'm so worked up.
I was going to say, I couldn't believe, yeah. I mean, like, what happens if one of the two catchers gets hurt? You know, like, I just even, like, on that situation, you figure they would want a third catcher there. I mean, I guess, well, like, it's not like a bullpen catcher somebody could catch and then someone else would hit for them.
They call like, it Vidal Brujan. Funny. They call it Vidal Brujan, and he's catching.
Well, I knew you'd like it, Tom. PJ, get down here quick.
I knew you. I didn't want to cut you off, but I knew you'd like it. But yeah, the All-Star game, I mean, it was.
Vidal, this is Rob Manfred. Wait, what's the next play you need to get on?
The All-Star game was good, though. I think the best thing they ever did was adding like the swing off, because like you're not ever going to extras. No one wants extras. The players don't want to play a whole nother inning. You're not going to like force another arm out there. So going to a swing off was like a fun way to kind of put a bow on it, just so that you have a winner.
I'll say this, though. I have my concerns that it could creep into the regular season. I do not want that. No. I liked it as a fun thing to close the All-Star game. I thought it created a lot of drama and stuff, but you saw that at times. I think hockey introduced the shootouts in the All-Star game, and then those eventually came the regular season. I just want to make it clear now, I will lose my mind if this comes to the regular season. I will get in this podcast, and I will start screaming obscenities, and Marquee will have to start bleeping everything, because I will lose my mind.
And Tom's a 13-hole golf guy, but he's an 18-inning baseball guy. He wants all the baseball.
I want my holes at 13 and my innings at 19. Everyone knows that.
And we'll be right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's all about the games. And the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Get back.
One more thing we should bring up about the All-Star game is they did test out the ABS challenge system. Tariq Skubal was accurate in his. I don't hate it. I don't know. I don't hate it. But I don't know if I love it either. I'm not a big technology guy. I'm okay with the human error. I know there's a lot of human error sometimes, but I don't know. What do you, Ian, I've never, do you want ABS or no?
I think ABS will be good. I think it'll be something that is, I think whether we want it or not, it's coming, but I think it's something that'll be a benefit to the game. I don't think it'll slow the game down. And I think it'll be a positive overall. I think more than anything, you're going to get the pretty 100% calls that guys are right on, where like that ball is completely in the zone. It wasn't like on an edge. I think it's going to be the same for balls that are, you know, they're a couple inches off and guys sort of know it right away. I think you're going to get the egregious ones kind of corrected. And I'm sure there'll be some late inning challenges on close pitches, but I think during the middle innings of the game, you know, from inning one to six, it's only going to be the egregious ones.
You did have one against Crochet yesterday where I was like, wish you could ABS that one. I was like,
it was the first pitch he threw me of the game, which is a fastball away. There was a ball and I knew it was a ball, and I turned around and said, you got that on the edge. And the umpire was right on it. He was like, yeah. And then he kind of said, might be a little off. And then after the next pitch, he kind of got up close to me and was like, I missed that one. And I like that's all you can ask for.
That's all you want. That's the best. See, yep. That's, I love that, because that's fine. Like, you know, like you can no longer be mad about that call because he admitted to you. He's like, hey, that was probably off. That's on me. And it's like, yeah, all right. And, like, and you ended up getting hit anyways. Who cares?
And just what that does for the rest of the game, right? Like he had called an away heater to somebody else, maybe Sayer or Nico, like in the first inning. He had called an away fastball against a righty. Sayer. And so what that does for the rest of the game, and if the ABS challenge is in there, same thing. What that does for, okay, that's a fastball just off the edge. You challenge it and you get it right. And then he can see on the screen like, oh, that's off. I can't keep calling that pitch. So what that does for the rest of the game for our offense to be able to say, no, you're not just going to sit 2 inches off the plate and get that call the whole time. And later in the game, there was in one of my bats, my third at bat against Crochet, or my second at bat against Crochet, the one where I flew out, there was a pitch that was close. The 2-1 was close on the edge and he called it a ball. It was a sinker and not a forcing, but that, you know, because that pitch had happened previous, you know, I think that helps you get the next one too, because you know that he's more aware of the edge.
I think we've talked about this a lot, but like it will be interesting to see. Like you said, I think there's no denying ABS is going to be a part of baseball most likely next year. Even can it be next year? Is it part of like a CBA, or do they have full discretion over like rules
next year? Yeah,
it'll be next so it could be in there next year, and like it'll be interesting to see how early in games guys call it. Like you said, it'll most likely be like if it's an egregious call, they'll challenge it. But I do think there obviously needs to be a cap on challenges. Like it can't just be each team gets 10 challenges and guys are challenging other pitch.
Yeah, what they're doing in AAA, I think, is 2 per team.
And then you
per
can
game,
earn, as long- and if you get it right, you keep them, right?
Yeah.
I like that. Like it should be unlimited if you're right. Like if you keep getting them right, you shouldn't lose them.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think it'll be more of a benefit than a detriment.
And it's quick. Like you said, it's very quick. Like they quickly throw it up there, they show it on the video board, and they're like, all right, let's go, next pitch.
I want to talk about the Yankee series.
Scotty gotcha.
Yeah, we got to talk about Scotty.
Scotty gotcha.
Scott. Change up. Ooh.
He knows. He knows you. What, do you think he was just going to feed you a heater?
Change up.
If you want to know why I was annoyed we didn't record last week, because I had Scott ready to go on the phone to call in about the at-bat. I had it all set up, and then it all fell apart, and I was like, was ready. It was really excited to have that conversation. We'll have to get a voice note for him next week after he hears your thoughts. So give us your thoughts.
It was nice to see Scott out there. He threw the day before, also. He threw Friday and Saturday.
First time facing him, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ever? First time facing ever. Not even spring ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What was the score of that Friday game? They were up big and he finished the ninth inning. And he was psycho-y out there, man. It was great. I was out. I wasn't playing that day. And so I was just kind of, I was pretty dialed into watching Scott pitch. And he was psycho-y. It was great. It was vintage.
The score of the game doesn't matter for when psycho-y comes out. It could be a 15-run ball game. He's still out there psychotic, and it's awesome.
Listen, psycho-y was shutting the door that day. He was coming in the ninth, you know? You got to have that energy to close the game down. It doesn't matter what the score is.
Knowing Scott, in his head, he's like, this is a one-run game. Like, I got to keep it here. I got to keep it right here. It's a one-run game. Like, that's kind of the thought process you have to have, which it's a good thing. It's just funny that I bet he's out there like, nobody gets on.
It was awesome to see him pitching and doing his thing. We got coffee and got to catch up, which was great. But yeah, in that at bat, he went changeup off away in the other batter's box. And I was looking for a heater, you know, but the changeup popped in a good window. Just ahead of it. But good pitch by Scotty.
I love that. Hitting's
tough.
I would say, like, the best possible outcome, since you're both my friends, would be you hit one like off the right field wall and get thrown out at second. So you get a single, but you're out. So you're both happy. Scott would not be happy with that, but you'd be happy that like you got a hit, or like you hit like a rocket right at the first baseman. I'd be like, oh, nice. Like, squared it up. You wouldn't be happy then. I don't know. There's no win-win there.
I was going to ask you what you were rooting for, Dakota. I was rooting. I think you had a double earlier in the game, I think, right, Ian? You'd had a couple hits, so I was like, Ian's got a couple hits. Scott, right now we need him to kind of, you know, he's got to get a couple shutdown innings here. We needed for him, so I was like, Ian can sacrifice one at bat. He's got more at bats. This is Scott's only inning.
Ian, close your ears. I was definitely rooting for Scott. Ian's making $20 million a year. Scott is not. That's my answer. That's my true answer. There it is.
Ian looks so betrayed right now. I don't know if he's going to speak the rest of the podcast.
But every other at bat of your entire career, I'm rooting for you, Ian. Doesn't matter who else is on the mound.
Every other at bat. What?
600 at bats, I'm rooting for you. Of the one, I was rooting for Scotty. And I didn't want you to strike out. I wanted you to like hit it hard at someone.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Every other at bat, I'm rooting for you.
No, that's all right. It was cool to see Belly.
Yeah.
Three homers in a game. It's impressive. He's having a great year. Should have been an all-star. That was cool. The home run robbery for four would have been crazy, but just really cool to see how well he's doing. And getting to see Judge in person, what he's doing right now. He hit a backside homer against us, but that wasn't the most impressive thing. The first day, I think he was 0-for-3, maybe 1-for-3, but he walked twice. And then the next day, Boyd shoved, but he had like two doubles.
I think he struck out Judge twice, Boyd did, I want to say. Or no, Shohei did, sorry. Or not Shohei.
Shota. Yeah, I think he had two doubles and a homer in the Saturday game, just kind of like quietly. Like, the homer was big late, it was late, but like he just hit two doubles down the line, and it was like, but they didn't. I don't think Boyd gave up a run, but it was just kind of like, this guy's unbelievable. Like, he made five
insane catches too. What was that?
Yeah, he plays a great right field. Doesn't look like he's moving fast, but he's so big, and then he ends up catching every ball. It's just like, just watching him take his at bats. Like, he struck out a few times, but like, it's just impressive.
That's how you know he's different. Is it's like, yeah, like he was two for four with like a double and a single, so like a pretty quiet game for Judge today. Like
that's what I'm saying.
That's legit. So like, a quiet game for Aaron Judge.
You used to expect him to hit a homer every time, and like,
kind of.
It was like, yeah, kind of walked away from that Saturday game. Like they only scored two runs or something. It was like 5-2 or 6-2, and it was like, it's like, yeah, we did a really good job of shutting them down. It was like, yeah, Judge was 3 for 4, 3 for 5 with two doubles and a homer.
Just the quietest game ever.
It's like, what? It just, he put together a weekend where I didn't feel like we didn't let Aaron Judge beat us, but on the weekend, I think he had like maybe four hits and two walks or three walks, and he like, and a bunch of slug. And it was kind of like
his OBP was still like 400 for the weekend.
Yeah. It's like,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, he's just really impressive.
Wait, trivia real quick question before we get off the subject. Did you, when you and Scott had coffee, was that before or after the AB?
It was Friday morning, yeah, before.
I was a little sad to hear that you chose, well, he got you out because you chose Sal to be your friend over Scott, and you got dinner with Sal Saturday instead of Scott, even though Scott's wife was in town. No excuses.
Maybe you would have got a hit if you were a better friend. You know, that's
It was pre-planned.
I don't know if that's true.
Yep, it was. Yep.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Trivia question. What five players are currently on pace for 50-plus homers, which would be the most ever to hit 50-plus homers in a season?
Judge.
Cal Raleigh.
Otani.
The other two are the – I mean, you'll get them, but they're the harder of the two.
Yes. Eugenio Suarez.
Future Cub Eugenio Suarez.
Exactly. Who's the fifth?
Come on. Beeksy. That's a big hint. It's a big hint, Ian.
Kyle Schwarber.
He's had like, since the All-Star break, he's had like 3 or 4 homers already.
That would be crazy.
Five guys with 50 plus. That's so many home runs.
And it's not, it's interesting because the league, like the league isn't slugging.
No, it's just there. I think Eugenio Suarez has like, he had 3 homers in 2 days this weekend.
The value keeps going up.
I know. I don't like that.
I know.
I mean, need to keep that value low. We need to get in a little slump here.
Can we talk about the fact that, like, we've been saying that we've been wanting trades to happen early this year, and it's now July 21st, and we've yet to see really any notable trade in any way, shape, or form? Very disappointed in Major League Baseball. I specifically requested trades. Where are my trades?
When's the deadline?
The 31st.
Oh, geez. I thought it was in August for some reason.
No, I mean, this is. I think they should move it to August because right now it's really difficult with this that third wild card. Everyone's still kind of in it, so nobody wants to sell. So I think trades are going to happen. If they're going to happen, it's going to be like on the 30th, 31st, it seems.
Jed said it last night that teams will make trades. Like the Red Sox are a perfect example of like they might sell and still be contenders. Like there are teams that are going to kind of sell but still be in the running for wild cards. Like you said, Tom, because there's a third wild card, so teams that are like hovering around there could still play well. I mean, the Red Sox are already kind of sellers. They sold Devers, so.
If you let me become commissioner for one day, the thing I'm getting rid of is the third wild card. I hate it.
Detroit did that last year. Detroit traded Flaherty and then went off.
Yeah, they were like full-blown sellers at the deadline, and they made a run. So it'll be very interesting to see like what teams do what, because there is so many teams like on the line of do they buy or do they sell or do they just stamp pat.
And it's the Cubbies right now had the best record in baseball, but Ian, don't look over here. Dakota, okay. They there's a couple trades that could be done. Like this team has some holes right now. It's interesting that they have one of the best records in baseball, but I look at the roster and I go, this does not look like the finished roster at all to me. Like there's a lot of moves still to be made in my mind.
I got three things on that. One, they're half game behind the Tigers for the best record in baseball. Two, they're tied atop their division while being a half game behind the best record in baseball with the Brewers.
Brewers have gotten red hot 10 in a row.
It's not great. It's fine. We're fine. Three, I do agree there are going to be, I would say at least three new faces that will be playing baseball for the Chicago Cubs come August 1st that aren't currently in the organization. At least three. That's my
I put it this way. If it does not come to pass that there's not at least three new Cubs, I will come on this podcast and be upset at Jed Hoyer. That is my promise to everyone here.
Well, we're not going to do that. He's going into a contract year next year. We need to stay on the positive side with the Cubs.
I mean, Jed Hoyer's in the last year of his contract.
All right.
We don't know what's happened. We don't know. Like, all right. Here we go. Iowa Cubs. If I'm Jed Hoyer, I'm sending out Iowa Cub game links to everyone else in baseball going, hey, you check out these guys?
Kevin Alcantara? These guys are good players. Who wants them?
Ballesteros? Owen Casey's red hot? Who wants them? Come on, guys.
We'll take Suarez straight up for Ballesteros. Thank you.
Great trade.
The deadline will be very interesting to see. There is one other person we haven't talked about yet because it happened and we did not record after, I don't believe. Zach Short had a walk-off single. Sick to see. Incredible.
Single and then a home run.
And then the next day,
moonshot.
Put into his book, Nathan Eovaldi. That's a good one to have in the book. That's the first thing I said to him. I go, that's a really cool name to have in your book that you hit a homer off of, because that's a really good pitcher.
Really good pitcher.
And it was a bomb, too. It was sick. It didn't go as – the numbers weren't that flashy. That was the first thing Zach said. He's like, the numbers weren't that good on. I was like, shut up.
God.
He didn't actually say that, did he?
I asked him. I said, what were the numbers? He's like, they weren't that good. I was like, shut up. It was a home run off Nathan Eovaldi. It could have been 312 down the left field line. And it still counts.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Still a homer.
824 OPS in the show.
For Shorty?
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Doing it.
Oh, you love to see it. Oh, you love to see all the boys in the show. Yeah. I would root for you, Ian, if Zach was pitching in a blowout. I would root for you then to get a hit.
Hey, thanks, man.
Because he's not a pitcher. He's a position player.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I got you.
You know what Zach does do?
Where's Bruce Bolt? Where's Bruce Bolt?
He's a Bruce Bolt guy. Raking in the show. BruceBolt.us. Go to BruceBolt.us for batting gloves, arm sleeves, protective, and golf gloves. Grab a few golf gloves for the summer. I've been using them. They're great. BruceBolt.us. Go check them out.
Can I tell you a quick story on Bruce Bolt? Please. he definitely doesn't listen, so he won't be mad I tell his story. I was at my future brother-in-law's bachelor party last weekend. Not this past one, but the one before. And I gifted him a two-pack of the Bruce Bolt golf gloves, which he liked very much. I gave him the baby blue ones. I was a gentleman. He is a dentist, but wasn't currently on health insurance. So my sister told him, like, just don't, like, get hurt this weekend, please. We are golfing together, and I'm in his group. I'm in the cart behind him. He goes in front of us, and they're driving down this hill. We come around a bend down this hill, and I see his cart on its side.
No.
And I'm like, oh, no. This is not good. And he's just standing outside of it, hands on his head in fear. The buddy he was with was in the cart. I couldn't see him at first. I was like, where is he? Where is he? He pops his head up. He was fine too. They both were like completely fine. But as the cart, he hit like the parking brake on accident when he was trying to just hit the brakes. As he was catching himself, he obviously used his hands to catch himself. He had the Bruce Bolt glove on and just tore right through it as he was like slamming into the ground. He goes, thanks for the gift. Holds up his glove. He goes, but honestly, it saved my hand. So there you go.
And
Bruce Bolt.
That's very just good material. Protecting people. That's what we do here at Bruce Bolt.
That's what we do. I was just, it was a pertinent story to Bruce Bolt because I had just given him that glove. I was like, well, it sucks for you. I was like, it's the one you got.
Hey, that's why they call it a two-pack.
Exactly.
Roll out the second one.
There we go.
I have one last topic.
All righty.
I think this is an interesting one.
Okay.
I heard this floating around, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. This is left-handed starting pitchers are having like a career, like an all-time year.
Just as a whole?
Of just how many, like, left-handed starter ERA and just how many good left-handed pitchers there are. I'm just going to read you some names. I was just going through the ERA leaders. This is kind of the top 20.
Robbie Ray, Carlos Rodon.
These are lefties in the top 20, and I included Chota. He's not qualified, but
he's Fried, top 20.
Max Fried, Rodon, Chota, Boyd, Skubal, Crochet, Bubik, Sanchez, Valdez, Peterson from the Mets, Robbie Ray. Those guys are the highest ERA on that list is Rodon with a 3.08.
Is Andrew Abbott not qualified either? He's been really good too.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, must not be qualified. Must not be qualified. He's not on this list.
Is that 97?
I think he missed a little bit of time at one point.
He's at 97 innings with a 2.1. But yes, lefties. There's a lot of really good lefty starting pitchers right now. Yeah. And
you also you have Mackenzie Gore, you have Lodolo, you have Abbott who are on that list. It's kind of crazy. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't have a reason for it, but it's an interesting one.
Well, and I mean, I think Chris Sale's hurt right now, but I'm sure he'd be up there if he was healthy.
Yeah.
It's cool to see. I mean, it pays to be left-handed. That's what the amount of people that ask me now that I don't play, they're like, oh, are you lefty? And I was like, no, probably still be playing if I was. That's my line. I'm like, wish I was, but nope.
Well, have you guys seen, I saw that they're talking about the switch pitcher that the Mariners have in the minors, and they're talking about using him. I think I've talked about that. I saw Pat Venditti, who was the original, or at least the most recent switch thrower, who was kind of, to be fair to him, probably mediocre from both sides. And the real talent was the fact that he could do both and he could go and get the platoon advantage. They've been talking about using this guy as a right-hander one day and then having him work out of the bullpen the next couple of days as just a left-hander. And I think that's kind of genius, and I love that because he's a little bit more polished on the right side, so they'd want to get him as a starter. But if you could have a guy that starts for you one day and then can come out of the bullpen for you like two different days with his other arm – that'd be incredible and like a real advantage that other teams would not have.
He better hit leg day. It's
like having two pitchers for the price of one.
He better hit leg day in the offseason because the rest of the body will still get tired.
True. There definitely is like how long could you do that for? But like it's an interesting way because we've only really conceived of switch pitchers always using the platoon advantage. But it's like, hey, if you wanted to like use him as two pitchers, as you said, I don't know how the rest of the body reacts to it, but like the arms, hypothetically, it works out.
Yeah, I do like that. Also, on that list, who I watched last night, friend of the pod, Tarik Skubal, is just, dude, he's so good. He's really so good. Impressive. Like, how, Ian, you faced him, like, last, I think he had 11 strikeouts last night. Like, you're sitting there, and, like, his best pitch is his changeup. And, oh, by the way, like, you're sitting on that changeup. Here's 98 at the numbers. Like, good luck laying off of it. Like, that's that alone right there.
He's throwing the four-seam and the sinker and just, like, coming right at you. He doesn't walk anybody, which is impressive. I also think – I think just watching him pitch, the most impressive thing is just his demeanor on the mound. Like, he's a bulldog, but he also – he, like, enjoys it out there.
Yeah.
Like, when somebody has his number, like the Corey Seager thing last night, or, like, I think Bregman got him a couple times earlier in the year. Like, when somebody hits him, he's just, like, he's not, like, pissed. He's, like, amazed. It's, like, he has fun out there. Like, his defense made a bunch of good plays behind him when we played them. And, like, he was just having a good time. And it just seems like he loves pitching and being out there. He's an easy guy to root for.
He last night, he came out in the seventh, I believe it was, with two outs, and it was first and third. Like, he was at like 98 pitches with one out, and then had like a 10 pitch at bat, and ended up striking out Jonah Heim. And then they took him out, and you could see, like, he didn't, like, obviously, like, show up Hinch or anything, but, like, you could tell he's like, no, like, give me one more, like, I can get one more. He's at like 108 pitches, and it's like, in today's age, 108 pitches is a ton. Like, guys just don't throw over 100 that often anymore. But that's just who he is. If he's, like, first and third, we're up one, like, no, like, you're leaving me in to get this last guy.
We looked at this in the office, like, 6 weeks ago, so someone may have had a much higher outing. But I think the highest pitch count at that point, again, like, end of May, early June, was 111, which is crazy to think about, that no one had thrown more than, like, 111, 112 pitches.
Guys just don't do it anymore. Like, you get to like 90, like 85, 90. It's like, all right, like, let's get the pen going. Like, no matter who's on the mound.
It's rare when you see a guy over 100, it's rare. And I think Kershaw was 100 on the dot yesterday. We faced Rodon, went over 100 the other day. And like, Boone came out and he stayed in the game to get the last out. Like,
yeah, Rodon, like, really bad. Cause like, that was that was like 11-1. It was a kind of a blowout. I was like, I kind of was like, hey, Aaron, get him out of here. Like, we're good. Like, I had like, he's over 100 pitches. The game's kind of in hand. Like, get him out of here. I'm sure you guys were like, get him out of here.
What are you rooting against the Cubbies?
Oh, he 100% was. What are we doing? 100% he was. It's one of my favorite things to see, though, when starting pitchers like fight to stay in.
Yeah.
Cause that's the best. Cause like, if you're at 100, that means you were throwing pretty well. Like, you don't get to 100 pitches and give up 6-7 runs usually. So like, just to want like that competitor inside of you to be like, no, like, this is my game. Like, I'm not coming out of this game I love that part of baseball.
One final note, the Cubbies are facing Rich Hill on Tuesday.
That's crazy.
He's
on the
in the big leagues on the Royals.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
How old is he now?
41.
No, yeah, because he was like 42 a couple years ago. He's kind of like 45.
Please hold. 45. That'd be crazy.
45.
45. Oh my god.
Yeah. You guys want to do screen time from today or yesterday? Sloan is the world's leading manufacturer of commercial plumbing systems at the forefront of the green building movement. Best valves in the game. Sloan Valve. What do you want to do? Sunday, Monday. Today. Sunday, Monday. Go.
Today.
Okay.
Today. Yesterday
today,
was go. Bad. Three hours, 3 minutes. Still not very good, but yesterday was bad. You'll see the bar.
2 hours, 40 minutes.
56 minutes.
I was going to say Ian's under an hour 100%.
That is episode 267 of the Compound Podcast presented by Parse Rum. Go to Benny's, get your Parse, send us a photo. We will see you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit SmileGeneration.com/confidence today.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.